been avoiding conflict lately? Are you afraid that if you speak your truth to someone, you might damage the relationship permanently? Is inner conflict eating you up inside? Maybe you're thinking one thing, but doing another, and you just can't seem to get your head and heart to line up. As humans, we all deal with conflict. Join Jennifer McKenna now as she talks to business leaders about the importance of conflict and how we can all move through it with greater grace and ease, ultimately taking our relationships and our lives to the next level by facing conflict courageously.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Conflict rising. So we live in a world today where there's conflict everywhere, it seems. So if we're having a hard time in our own relationships, just having those tough conversations with loved ones, imagine what it's like to be a teenager in today's world. I know that I have talked many times to my friends and colleagues who, you know, we all think, oh my gosh, how different it is to be a teenager in today's world where there's social media and the internet, and we're just inundated with information all day, every day, and so much of it being so negative and conflict-inducing. How do you develop good relationships? How do you have tough conversations? And how do you deal with the heaviness of these bigger cultural issues that we talk about each week on the show? So I decided to have my teenage daughter join us today. McKenna, can you say hi?
Hi.
And her good friend, Georgia Gordon. Georgia.
Hey.
So thank you, ladies, for joining me today. I just want to let listeners know that one of the things that inspired this show is several years ago when McKenna hit middle school, she came home one day and she had an interesting perspective on the dress code. That was the cultural conflict of the day. And the dress code was designed to tell girls what they could and couldn't wear, and it said very little about the boys' wardrobe. And so a lot of the girls were angry and pushing back because they live in Atlanta where it is 95 and 96 degrees when they go to school in August, and they weren't really permitted to wear anything cool. They had to wear jeans and shirts that didn't show a whole lot of shoulder. And so if anyone has seen the movie On the Basis of Sex, it came out recently. It's about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her rise in her career to where she is today working on gender discrimination. It reminds me of this movie because there is a scene in the movie where Ruth sees her daughter hit that teenage stage, and she had this epiphany that, oh my gosh, these female teenagers really are finding their voice. They really are empowered. They have a very legitimate voice against gender discrimination. And it just reminded me so much when you came home, McKenna, and you said, Mom, it's not fair. It's so hot. We're not allowed to wear anything cool. And so we started discussing it. And what was your position? Do you remember, McKenna, what you said?
I don't remember my exact words, no. But all I know is it was very unfair because, you know, the boys, I think I saw, you know, outside, they would take off their shirts, you know, no one would care or anything. But when the girls went outside, you know, we were covered in full hot jeans, you know, and just covered in sweat because, you know, and then embarrassed by that because, you know, you'd see sweat stains, people would be like, oh, gross. Well, it's like, what else are we supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, and I remember your comment that was so awakening for me. It was when I said, well, I think that the reason why is because at these stages where you're developing physically and you're not, you know, you're still developing psychologically, that they wanted to remove the temptations for any kind of sexual innuendos or that type of thing. And I remember your response specifically. You looked at me and you were so angry when I said that. And you said, why is it my fault if a boy can't handle seeing my shoulder?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, they should be teaching the boys, not us, to cover ourselves for them.
So I laugh because it was, as common sense and rational as that sounds, That thought really had not occurred to me because of my age and that I have grown up just being used to that kind of frame of mind. So that was the first of many years of conversations about cultural issues, not just gender discrimination, but that's what inspired today's show. So I want to thank you both for being here in Georgia. Thank you for joining the conversation today. I know that you're such a smart cookie, and McKenna's going to hate me for saying that word, but but I really, really do appreciate the perspective that you bring to the table. So today, on today's show, what I want to do is just kind of rattle off a list of hot topics in today's world. And I want to hear your genuine perspectives. What do you think about each of these topics? What scares you? What upsets you? What energizes you? What gives you hope? Let's just go down a few things, if you don't mind. You ready?
All right. Yep.
Okay. So first, there's a big hot topic right now in the state of Georgia that has now, we seem to have started a trend across the country around something that they passed called the heartbeat bill. And it's conjuring up the notion that abortion may become illegal again. So I'm not suggesting that it will, that it'll get anywhere, but they certainly are trying and they're getting a lot of momentum, regardless of the fact that the polls show that the vast majority of Americans do not want that to happen. But they're getting a lot of traction in these state legislatures. So what, ladies, as 15-year-old young women in this world, when you see that on the news, what goes through your head?
I just think the unfairness of it all. I feel like women's bodies are ours to control. And I know that the heartbeat bill is whenever they detect a heartbeat, which is 2 weeks after a woman like misses her menstruation, and a woman doesn't even know until she's pregnant until she's 6 weeks, and I feel that's unfair.
It's just kind of unfair how these people put so much focus on this right now when there's so many bigger topics, and I actually wrote something about it. And do you mind if I read it?
No, that's fine.
Okay. So what I'm confused about is how the Earth itself is having this major crisis, and what is put into the spotlight is not that the planet we live on is dying due to all that we've done to it, such as, you know, fossil fuels, the burning of them, animal agriculture, waste, pollution, etc. But instead, the main priority right now is controlling a woman's body. And I read that within Georgia's heartbeat bill, as what you were saying. If a woman decides to get an abortion, she potentially would be charged with murder, imposing a life sentence if a fetal heartbeat is detected. Not to mention, like Georgia said, typically women by 6 weeks don't even know that they're pregnant. Also, a woman who miscarries would be liable for second-degree murder in certain areas, meaning about 10 to 30 years in prison. So all in all, if a woman, let's say, got raped, regardless of age, and got an abortion because they were unable to take care of the child because they physically or mentally could just not handle it, they would have a higher chance of getting prison time than their rapist. What business do these people have inside women's bodies anyway? I mean, if people really want to save children, how about saving the ones that are already born and denied the freedom that some of us are so fortunate to have? We already have an overpopulation issue, so more humans who wouldn't even enjoy their life would be adding to the problem of our perishing Earth. More food is eaten equals more agriculture and more food waste and more waste in general. More big industries polluting our water, our air, our everything. So I just think that, I mean, I think everything wrong is put into the spotlight right now.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is we've got all of these bigger environmental issues and overpopulation issues. We're depleting our resources, and yet we're concerned about children that haven't even been born yet.
Yes, and I fully do not understand why, because, you know, most of the time women get an abortion if they think they know they can't handle raising a child. And even if the child would be, say, put into, like, a foster home, they wouldn't get the same, you know, things growing up as other people. So it just, it would be unfair for the child.
And so when you say that, you're assuming that there is not a man involved, right? Because the baby has to come through the female's body, therefore the female is responsible. She's the one that's going to get charged with murder. She's the one that has to go through the labor and delivery. She's the one that will be responsible for caring for the child upon its arrival onto the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the man? Because you can't create a child without a man.
Of course. Of course, I'm not saying the man doesn't matter at all, because he does. But, you know, a lot of the times these things mainly revolve around the female, I guess, just because they're the ones to have it. And, you know.
In school, we talked about, on the topic of rape, whose fault is it? We read the book Speak, which is about this girl who got raped, and she doesn't really know how to handle it or think about it. And she thinks it's her fault. But whenever our class really broke it down, she was at a party, and some people think it was because she was intoxicated or because she was just helpless and didn't know what to do, and that it was her fault. But when really it was the fault of the man, because he was the one that decided to rape her and take advantage of her. And if he wasn't there, it wouldn't have happened.
And it's not always the man's fault, of course. But, you know, what was I going to say?
It's not always a rape case.
Yeah. It's definitely not. But I kind of think that this, not, I don't want to say, like, it gives a further invitation for these bad things to happen. But it's just, it should not be a focus right now. I thought, like, when it came out, I was like, this is so random with everything else that's going on in the world. Like, this is so random.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting to me, to get the 15-year-old perspective, is that this is random. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're my age and you're almost 50, you know, from our perspective, this has been an issue since. Gosh, as far back as we can remember. In fact, mm-hmm. the case that's the Roe versus Wade case actually was opened in 1969, the year I was born. And as you know, McKenna, well, Georgia, you probably know this too, that I was adopted. Therefore, had abortion been legal, who knows if I would have been adopted or not. And so you would think that I would have a very strong opinion that absolutely abortion should be illegal, because my life could have been on the line for that. So I've lived 50 years on the planet with this debate always coming up in every single election as far back as I can remember, even mm-hmm. with Roe versus Wade having been passed. There's just a huge faction of people that want to save unborn babies. Now, that sounds like a really romantic cause, but when you break down the science, it really isn't about that. And to your point, it seems very random. It's why would the courts or legislators want to control what I do with my womb, what mm-hmm. I do with my body? Yet it does feel as though everything's weighted against the woman, right? There's a book mm-hmm. called, I think it's called White Umbrella. I read it several years ago, but it was written by a woman who started a sex trafficking organization here in Atlanta to rescue a lot of women who had been caught up in that. And she quoted that one in four women, I think it was over the age of 18, has been raped in the state of Georgia. One in four.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at that data and you consider everything that you're talking about, it does absolutely feel like gender discrimination to me.
Mm-hmm.
but to
form.
You, what I'm hearing is it just sounds random. It sounds mm-hmm. like, why are we trying to control a woman's body when we need so much of our efforts to focus on saving the environment? That's what I'm hearing. Georgia, do you have anything to add to that? Because that was McKenna's primary message. What would you say?
I think I would say that it's not really a matter of like pro-choice or pro-life. It's mainly just the woman's choice, because it all depends on the circumstances and the conditions that she is in and what she wants her baby's life to be like, whether life or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people need to start focusing on, you know, all the people who are already alive, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, So Georgia, I kind of stand where you are. I totally agree with McKenna that we've got a lot of big issues that we don't seem to be addressing. And to stir this up seems rather antiquated, in my opinion. But Georgia, to your point, I have never personally been comfortable with the term pro-life. Because mm-hmm. if you take a pro-life position, that should mean that you're channeling that much energy helping all the millions of neglected babies that are already here.
Right, right. Because if you're pro-life, anyway, then, yeah.
It's never really made sense to me. So I'm just throwing that out there just to dovetail off of what you said. I'm only right. going to bring my opinions in after you guys give yours, because I do not want to influence your opinions, but your opinions mm-hmm. inspire me to be more vocal about mine.
All right.
So how about we move on? How about we move on to the next issue? McKenna, you brought up the environment. Let's talk about that. We've got a president who absolutely is working very hard to eliminate the term climate change from our vocabulary and the concept mm-hmm. in general. And there's a whole lot of movement behind that, trying to get a whole population to ignore the realities of the environmental issues. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on that.
All right.
Stay tuned.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking to two 15-year-old young ladies, Georgia and McKenna, about different cultural issues and conflict and moving through it. So, ladies, we took a long time talking about abortion. We're going to speed things up because we've got a lot of topics to get through here. The environment, you brought it up, McKenna. I'm going to let you start, take the lead, and tell us what's your biggest worry or concern about environmental issues right now?
Okay, so pretty much I saw this video, and it was from, if anyone knows, Bill Nye, the science guy. We would watch him just, you know, in our schools when we were younger, in elementary school, middle school, all that. So he's well known, and he's always talked about science and the environment and everything. Well, he posted this video, And he was kind of saying, all in all, like, I was okay with teaching you photosynthesis in third grade, but now the earth is literally dying, so I need you to stand up and do something. And that was kind of like a big wake-up call for a lot of people, because it's so true. He said, like, the earth is literally on fire. And like you said before the commercial break, President Trump, he wants to get rid of the term, you know, climate change and everything. And I kind of don't really understand, because there's a big change happening, and putting this cover over it is not going to solve anything. You know, we're just going to dig a deeper hole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, animals are constantly going, along with plants, they're constantly going endangered, extinct. Just everything, you know, our air, our water, it's polluted.
You can't try to hide what's actually going on in the world.
Yeah. And so how concerned are you? What is your biggest fear about this?
I feel like my biggest fear is that my children will not be able to live in a safe world.
Mm-hmm.
Environmentally speaking, because
what does that mean?
I know that in 2050 that a bunch of stuff is going to be dead, like the coral reefs, and there's going to be way more plastic in the ocean, and just everything is going to immensely increase, and the year 2050 is really just going to be not so fantastic, according to the websites that I've looked at. But with the carbon dioxide that we've been creating from, like, deforestation, burning fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas, and cement production, it's been trapped in the ozone layer, which is also being destroyed, but it's heating up the earth, and that is the climate change that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm. And I know I also read, you know, all these things, you know, more, I think, earthquakes, more everything is plan to happen. You know, you don't, because the earth is heating so much, you know, everything is going downhill. I read this thing on Natural Geographic. It said 1 million species are at risk of extinction because of the human actions, such as, you know, pollution and just everything.
So does it make you angry? Does it make you sad? Does it make you scared? Where do you go with that kind of information?
I feel like it's a combination of all of them.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's kind of like, I know for me, I go outside to, like, you know, take a deep,
relaxing
breath of fresh air. And, you know, it's kind of not like that in reality. You know, you go outside, you cough up a bunch from all the car fumes. It's not what you would think, and it's because of us. And it's just no longer a safe and peaceful environment.
And so what about all the modern conveniences? Like, are you ready to give things up in order to have fresher air?
In order to live, to live a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, there has been a lot of progress in today's time, you know, many more businesses, buildings, all this technology, you know, everything. And it is a good thing, I suppose, but not when it's, you know, taking something bigger, and that is our, existence, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we need to look at the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. What would you, if you were able to go to Capitol Hill and talk to Congress and the president, what would you say?
Well, not specifically to the president, but you can even talk to your local rep about it, and you can call your representatives, you can email your representatives, and tell them your opinions, and really just get your voice heard.
Okay. All right, so let's move to another topic quickly, because we've got so many to cover. Last year, the year before, there was a big campaign called Black Lives Matter. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm really happy you asked, because my friend Gabby, she is a African-American 15-year-old female, and she wrote something about it. And if you don't mind, could I read some of it?
Sure. She wrote it, you're saying?
Yes, she did. And okay. I didn't want to speak for her, so I just decided to let her read or something.
Okay.
On the topic of police brutality, everyone has their own opinions, right? So I want to preface this by saying this is my own opinion, backed up by facts. I was personally had never heard of much police brutality until the shooting of Trayvon Martin. Historically speaking, police brutality was first used in the press as early as 1872, so it's been around for over a century. Honestly speaking, I have nowhere to start. I have no idea where to start. I suppose I could start by talking about racial profiling. Racial profiling is pretty self-explanatory. It's using someone else's race or ethnicity as a meaning to find someone suspicious of a crime. That's exactly what racist police officers do. Not all police officers are racist. Trust me, I know. My uncle used to be a police officer, but he's black. So I'm not saying that all police officers are racist, but I'm not saying that some aren't. This topic brings me to the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter, or BLM for short, is not, I repeat, not intended to spread the message that solely Black Lives Matter. The purpose of BLM is to bring awareness to the issue of police brutality. Of course, all lives matter. That's not a debatable fact. But it's called Black Lives Matter because Black lives are systematically targeted by the police. Before BLM, our lives weren't cared about. Our lives didn't matter. Before Black people started to realize that our lives do matter, we didn't matter. Black people don't want violence. We want justice. We don't want our lives to be taken away just because of the color of our skin. The end.
Okay, so Georgia, I'm not sure if you didn't have your mic close to your mouth or if you had it too close. It was a little hard to understand because there was some reverberation there. But thank you for sharing that. So Gabby is a young black 15-year-old as well, female?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she touches on racial profiling and police brutality. She covers quite a bit of ground in all of that.
Does.
And I know you said you don't want to speak for her, but what is your takeaway as her friend?
My takeaway is that they're not trying, the African American community is not trying to overpower other communities. They just want justice, really. They have been prejudiced and mistreated in the past, and they want their rights back.
Yeah, and so what would you say to people who don't think that's true?
Well, I'd say that if you think that your life matters, then listen, then that person probably thinks that their life matters too. And all
right.
lives
but there are people have... but there are people who think that they say, of course Black Lives Matter. Why are we even suggesting that they don't? So in other words, there are people who don't necessarily believe that there's still racial discrimination.
Well, I'm guessing they did not. They have no experience seeing that. And, you know, because it's kind of like a fact that we know that has been going on for so long.
There's history to back up that.
Yeah, so it doesn't really make sense why.
Because we're in the modern community and just are so advanced now, it doesn't mean that racism is gone. It's people might be
in other places.
Mm-hmm. People might be putting it down and covering it up and acting like it's not there, but when really it is. It's in the small things in life, but also the bigger things in life, such as police brutality.
I don't like how dark or light your skin is should not determine your worth at all.
Right.
We're all human beings at heart.
Right. And so what do you think needs to change?
I feel like people need to open their eyes and become more aware of what's happening around them.
Mm-hmm. We need to come together.
Right. We need to band together and just support each other through this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can get somewhere if we all work together.
Yeah. It seems like the focus for everything in today's world is separation.
Right.
When I think it needs to be the opposite.
Right. People feel like they need to choose sides.
And I know that the two of you live in a very diverse community. So you have Black friends, white friends, you know, your upbringing is very different from a lot of other teens in the country where they either live in all Black populations or all white populations. And there's not mm-hmm. a lot of cross-cultural communities like the one that the two of you live in. So, mm-hmm. so where do you think that plays out in this scenario, or how do you think that impacts people's perspectives?
Well, it definitely has an impact because, you know, people base things off what they've seen, what they've experienced, and everything. So that's obviously going to have an impact on their opinion. But that does not mean people have the right to kind of become closed-minded on this and these types of topics just because they haven't seen it with their own eyes.
And there's plenty of news around on news channels and the internet and really just everywhere that shows evidence that racism is real.
Yeah. Okay. So one more big topic, guns. You guys are teenagers. You're in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
You are exposed to lots of news stories about school shootings. How do you feel about that?
Scared.
Yeah. We starting off, we should not have to walk into school every day being scared for our lives. You know, we should not walk into that building and be like, today could be the day, like, that we could die.
Mm-hmm.
Or that something like that happens. We should not be scared for our lives.
And does that go through your head?
Yes, because if you look on the news, if you look anywhere, in the United States, so many times there have been shootings. And it's insane. It's almost like it's not even rare. It's not rare anymore. So it kind of has to go through our heads, yeah.
And it's not the school's fault. It's the person that has the gun in their mm-hmm. hand. And even whenever it was placed there, not even knowing that the person has, let's just say, like a mental illness.
Yeah, so what do you think the solution is? How do we prevent this?
Well, I know that there are laws being considered right now that are about strict making the laws to get a gun license or just to buy a gun in general more strict so that the right people can have the guns that they need for sport, say. I know that in rural areas, normally sport is a big thing, like hunting and all of that. And that's like the main reason that people have guns. But when a gun is placed in the wrong hands, it can be extremely fatal
mm-hmm.
in the school shooting.
Right.
Yeah, I think
Georgia,
if there
I'm going to. I don't mean to cut you off, but Georgia, every time you're talking, you are you're echoing. So I'm not sure what's happening.
It sounds like someone put it on speaker.
Okay.
We're on speaker.
Georgia. Okay. So it's very difficult to understand what you're saying. So if you can put your mouth closer to the. But go ahead.
Okay.
You were making a point. I'm sorry. I just had to intervene because it's been going on for a while and I just started having trouble understanding you.
Okay.
So I cut one of you off. Who was talking? My apologies.
I think it was McKenna talking.
Yes. Where were we? It was.
I said, what do you think the solution is to prevent these shootings from happening?
Oh, yes. So I think there definitely needs to be very strict, you know, background checks for someone to get a hold of a gun. Because, you know, if they aren't strict, first of all, it will be easy for someone to get one from someone else who already has one, if that makes sense. So someone who is not legible to have one could easily get one if the checks are not strict enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, because, you know, I think in today's time, we are not going to fully eliminate all guns. That has become obvious because even stricter background checks has, it's an ongoing debate with both sides. So, yeah. I just think.
But so are you saying checks. That's what you'd like to see?
No guns?
You want to see them pass some legislation that requires stricter background checks?
Yes, definitely. Okay. I think there's way, it's so easy for someone to get a hold of a gun. And if you just, you know, look online at statistics of how many shootings in the U.S., like, you'll see how big of a problem it is. And I just don't understand how something else involving guns, like hunting or anything, people find beneficial or why they need to have one overpowers it, because, you know, I just don't think
a
life is worth.
So what would you say to someone who feels like any kind of legislation is a threat to their right to bear arms? What would you say to them?
I mean, I would just say, what if it was you? You know, what if you were the kid who got killed in the school shooting? You know?
And then they would joke and say, well, I'd be dead, so I wouldn't have a thought.
Then that shows how closed-minded they are.
Definitely closed-minded.
Okay. So basically what I'm hearing you say is it feels very threatening. It makes it scary to go to school, and and you would like to see something change. All right, so before we go to a commercial break, I got one last question for you on the big topics. Well, there we go. Commercial's coming. So when we come back, I've got some questions more about where you are as teenagers, what you deal with day to day, peer pressures, and so forth when we come back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, ladies. And welcome back, listeners,
hello,
to
hello.
The show. Okay, so we're going to round out the hour talking about some things that are a little bit more personal. Talk to me about being a teenager. We've got higher teenage suicide rates. We've got gender identity issues going on, relationship issues, the same old peer pressures every generation has faced, body image issues. So let's start there. Let's start with body image and make our way back through that list. what comes to mind when I say body image?
Personally, I think insecurity, you know. I personally have always, I guess, struggled with body image, as almost everyone else has, a lot of people my age. But just insecurity and never being satisfied with the way you look, you know. And I think social media and just how the times have changed and, like, all this technology, it has a huge effect, because now I think people seek validation only from other people, from likes, from comments, you know,
from shares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what are the body image issues? What is it that you don't feel satisfied about, and why? Where is that coming from?
So it really is everything, I think. I mean, it depends on the person, obviously, for what you are mm-hmm. self-conscious about. But another big thing is, like, these modeling industries, all of these stores that we look at, these everything online, like, you – and there is progress happening, but it's still – you look and you see all the same body type. You don't see variation. Like, let's say – actually, yesterday I was, looking for a swimsuit online, and I looked at these websites, and the models, they all looked the same. You know, they were very slim. They were very toned. And it just – looking at it, you don't know how to feel, because if you do not look like that, you think you're not as beautiful. Like, that in today's time kind of says it ranks your beauty, and it shouldn't, you know. Mm-hmm. Physical characteristics, like, in today's world, that seems to be the only thing that matters, and it's insane, because that should not matter so much.
Mm-hmm. So I've got some bad news for you, ladies. That has been going on as long as I can remember as well. So what are we going to do to change it? What do you think you would say to other girls your age? What would you say? What have you learned from that? How have you gained your confidence through that insecurity?
Well, I mean, you really just have to love yourself unconditionally. You know, if you are in a bad place, you're not going to get anywhere. If you are constantly wanting to look like someone you're not, if you're constantly wanting to look some other type of way and don't love yourself right now, when you get to that point, you're going to feel the exact same. Because what matters is how you feel inside. The outside does not matter unless you let it.
How do you get there?
Well, I know that self-care has become a big trend. And, of course, there's the face mask, the painting your nails, or doing your hair. But there's another kind of self-care that isn't really put in the spotlight much, which is the mental self-care. And I know that, of course, going on walks and going to the beach and just – thinking to yourself is definitely a great form of self-care, but really analyzing your mental state and how you think about the world and how you think the world thinks about you is just a way to find your confidence and see what your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. You need to stop.
I love that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Mental self-care.
You need to stop caring so much about other people's opinions, because in the end, they don't matter. It's just how you feel, because it's your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it's easier said than done, as we all know, right? Mm-hmm. As we've all had our own experiences with it. So what are some of the practices that you do with mental self-care to keep yourself in optimal, healthy shape?
I know that journaling is definitely mm-hmm. a big part of it. Some people write music, some people write poems, some people just create some kind of beautiful artwork that expresses themselves. Mm-hmm. And I know that's definitely a way to let out some emotion or how to tell, show yourself that you really matter and you have some worth.
Yes, and I would say take a break from technology, take a break from social media. Meditation is actually a good, you know, it sounds pretty like, ooh, you know, like bohemian, stuff like that. But no, it really does have an impact because you get time to channel your thoughts and just everything inside, you know, because so much focus is put on the external factors. You need to focus on the internal and, you know, taking time to yourself is how you do it.
Yeah. Great advice, ladies. Great advice. Okay. So relationship issues, you know, at your age, that's when people are starting to date and they're finding their tribe and all these fun things. What relationship issues crop up for you? What do you see in others? What's the common issue here?
I know that in the teen society, jealousy is a big thing that has been going on for, I'd say pretty much forever, but I know that jealousy can break up friendships, break up partnerships, relationships, and I feel that jealousy is really just a pointless emotion because mm-hmm. with jealousy, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's, again, the self-care thing.
Yeah, and I want to add on to that. Validation, I think the big thing right now is with relationships, you know, people think that they have to be in one because they feel they need the validation from the other person because they haven't given themselves it, mm-hmm. you know?
In order to love other people, you have to love yourself.
Yeah, so many people think it's the other way around. So many people think that other people need to love them to feel loved, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing a theme here. So since we came back from the commercial break, there's a theme woven through everything you're saying, and it's loving yourself because mm-hmm. and that's how you overcome some of these insecurities that may mm-hmm. perpetuate the jealousy, that may perpetuate the need for validation. Would mm-hmm. you agree that that's the conclusion I'm hearing through all of what you're suggesting?
Yes, that is the big thing. And, you know, when you just say to someone like, oh, you just need to love yourself, you know,
it's going to be a journey.
Yeah, people kind of hear that and they're just like, yeah, but like, what does that mean, you know? And that's what it is. Like I said before, it's your life and you're here to enjoy it, but you're not going to if you, you know, are never satisfied with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you say you're here to enjoy it, some people hear, oh, that means I need to go do pleasure seeking things like,
no,
you know, what?
That's the external
drinking,
factors
drugs,
again.
Whatever. Okay.
No. Right.
Right. And so what are you really referring to?
I'm referring to all that we've said, you know, if you're stuck in a place, you know, like taking time, finding yourself internally, not by external factors. And just getting a sense of your purpose, you know, what are you meant to do that will, you know, you're going to have a great life no matter what, if you just focus on just love for everything, you know, especially yourself, but love and care for the world around you and the people around you.
Yeah. And so, you know, there has been talk that we have higher rates of suicide, and I honestly, I'm going to admit, I have not done my research on that. I do not know where the comparison data falls generationally. Mm-hmm. What I do believe is that in the era of social media, we see a lot more things. We are exposed to a lot more information. And so mm-hmm. how does it feel to you? Do you feel like there are too many teens committing suicide? Where do you feel like that's coming from? Can you relate to it? Have you ever had those dark thoughts?
Yes, because, you know, nowadays, because there's so much of it, it crosses your head because mm-hmm. You kind of feel like it's an option because it's not rare anymore, you know?
I feel like in books and in movies, like, for example, the 13 Reasons Why book, it's a romanticized version of suicide. And I feel like suicide has turned into more of like a, like McKenna said, an option and a way to get out if you're feeling just any way that is not happy whenever.
And it's not okay. It is not okay for these people.
So there are other options,
like
therapy, or, and if you can't afford therapy, then of course the meditation or just spending time on yourself to figure out what your passion is and what you want to pursue in order to really just be joyful in this wonderful life you have.
So what has caused, if either of the two of you or both of you have ever hit those dark moments in your own head and you, it just seems hopeless and helpless in that moment, what usually causes that frame of mind for you?
When you're in a really bad place with yourself, you know, when you don't, I know for me personally, one of the darkest places I've ever been in, it was because I just, I could not accept myself. You know, I just, I hated where I was. You know, everything seemed to be wrong in life. And it really, it's a horrible thing. And it's such a difficult thing to come through or to go through. But you make it out of it. You make it. And, you know, you don't know in the moment that you will. You don't know what the future holds, but you just have to have faith and you just have to push through it, because in the end, you know, it's like that one song, like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You will be so strong and powerful with yourself, and you will just, you'll thrive, you know?
Right. Yeah. You'll look back on that experience and think, I got through that, so I can get through anything.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of wisdom coming out of two 15-year-old ladies, so I appreciate all of what you're sharing. What I'm hearing as the takeaway is the bigger cultural issues. You need to let your local legislators know how you feel about certain things. You want people to open their minds and their hearts to ideas outside of their own. You want people to care more about the environment and not be so careless with pollution and bad practices. You would like the leaders to prioritize the environment over abortion issues.
Yeah.
But I'm also hearing you come full circle with advice to others about loving yourself, finding your purpose. Right.
Yes.
Focusing on the internal instead of the external, believing in yourself. So these are all the themes I've heard from you all throughout this hour, and I appreciate this. Before we close, is there any parting advice that you would like to give to fellow teens who may be listening?
You are important. You are smart. You are beautiful and handsome, and you are worth it.
Yes, you matter in the world. And the world needs you.
Excellent. Is there any parting wisdom you'd like to give to adults?
Keep your minds open.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep your minds open. And
the changing times and everything that's going on.
And emotions are valid. And just listen to your children's emotions, because you don't know how they're feeling inside. And if they tell you, you need to respect that.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad I listened to you all. I feel as though I talked too much in the first part of the hour, and I'm so glad I listened more in the second two sections, because you have so much to say and such beautiful advice. I thank you for taking your time today. And
thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. So I hope to have you on the show again down the road as we continue to face tough issues that we need to take on head on. And to those listeners out there, I would just say this. The more we do love ourselves and the more we do listen to the advice of these young ladies, the more we will absolutely heal the world and move through all of these very heavy conflicts with greater ease and grace. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's edition of Conflict Rising. And until next week, take good care. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.